And welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering the arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. Hi, I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right here alongside Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City, your host for Art on the Air. Our 2019 underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, and of course our landlord in this beautiful historic building here right along Lincoln Way. If you'd like to find out more about leasing space, there's a whole bunch of neat art spaces here. You can call Walt at 219-462-5821. That's 219-462-5821. Thank you for your generous support. We always like to thank Greg Kovach, station manager here. Esther's engineering our show today, so she's getting in the pilot seat of doing that. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts or arts-related events, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That is artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. And our program is rebroadcast Mondays at 5 p.m. And something new we've added, if you want to listen to our previous program, I guess you might call them podcasts, you can go to breck.com. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. That's BRECH.com/AOTA. And you can see our past shows. Usually it takes about a week to get up our the guests that we have today, but you can listen to some of our previous shows and everything. So now we're going to move on to our arts calendar, and we'll start with Porter County. Valparaiso Center for the Arts, Brower Museum, coming on January 8th through March 31st, and it's Icons on Ammo Boxes, a unique exhibit where they've got art on these military ammo boxes by Sofia Altanova and Alexander Klemenko. Also, in the other, they have Line Force Burn Rubber by Sarah Klemp and Olivia Petrides, and then the Art of Lynn Olson. So they have actually three separate exhibits going on. The Village Gallery at Pines will still feature Michael Klaus Schmidt through February 28th. And the Village Gallery is in Village Circle in Valparaiso. Chesterton Art Center. Well, we have a guest here for Chesterton Art Center. They'll be opening in their front gallery from Frontline Foundations, Unbroken. And we'll talk more about what's going on in Chesterton because our guest is here today. And also we have Quilting Gone Wrong, which is probably right. So we'll talk more about what Chesterton Art Center with our guest a little bit later. Memorial Opera House Foundation, Shrek the Musical, will be running three weekends starting February 15th through March 3rd. They run Fridays and Saturdays at 8 p.m., Sunday at 2 p.m. The information is at their website or Facebook pages. Adults are $21, seniors, students, and military get $18, and they do have group rates available. Artsy, Fine Art, and Antiques in Chesterton on Friday, February 8th. And they have a Valentine's thing going creating a piece of art together, and you will go through acrylic painting of your choice with Gretchen Bishop. It's $70 a couple. They say wear paint-friendly clothing. It's for ages 18 and over, and if you're 21, you can purchase wine at the Flying Mermaids. So that's on South Calumet in Chesterton. They have both a website and a Facebook page. So now let's move on to LaPorte County, and Esther's going to take you right there.
All right, LaPorte County. First Friday is February 1st, and quite a few galleries will be closed in Michigan City. First Friday is from 5 to 8 p.m. I know the Lubesnik Center for the Arts has an opening, which I'll talk about in a minute, so they will be open. Monique's Home Decor will be open, and we at The Nest will also be open. So Lubesnik Center for the Arts is opening the new exhibit, Nature Versus Everything, and it opens first Friday, February 1st through June 8th. Features nine contemporary artists with a work that is environmentally minded. The exhibit explores the perilous battle between humanity and the natural world. Opening reception is from 5 to 8 p.m. Also opening in the NIPSCO's Art Education Studio is Melissa Washburn's Cabinet of Curiosities. Discover all the wonder and beauty this exhibition offers. Burnt Offerings is in the Area Artist Association Gallery, and it's Tom Brand's paintings that are created with oil on wood panels. And this exhibition is Tom's first since the tragic fire that claimed many of his paintings. And these are some of his offerings of Tom taking what was left of some of the burnt paintings and reconfiguring them. So
what a creative idea.
I know. It's a very good way to work through that.
Kind of like a phoenix almost.
Yeah. And then we have the Southern Shore Art Association. Their February exhibit, A Moment in Time, opens Saturday, February 2nd. And they will have a closing reception on Friday, February 22nd. The gallery is located at 724 Franklin Street. And they are open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. You can find them on the web at southernshoreartassociation.com or visit their Facebook page, Southern Shore Art Association. Larry, can you tell us a little bit about what A Moment in Time entails?
Well, we have a wide variety of things. We're actually hanging the show today as soon as this broadcast is over. So I haven't seen all the work. I know I have five pieces in the exhibit because they were running short on people exhibiting. But it's just really a name for the show. It's still kind of a salon-style show where everyone brings in whatever artwork.
So it'll be a mix of all different types of work.
Exactly.
Excellent.
So it's not really theme-based.
All right. So check that out Saturday, February 2nd. That's the opening for A Moment in Time. And then the Thaddeus C. Gallery, located in downtown LaPorte. Gallery hours are from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Their number, 219-326-8626. They had a really nice article in The Beecher, January 24th, about both the owners, Laura and Thaddeus Cutler. Blink Contemporary Art at 1709 Franklin Street is exhibiting the work of artists Rick Lang and Suzanne Cohen Lang. The Nest, located at 803 Franklin Street. We still have the paintings of David and Marjorie Kreiner, but that's coming to an end, so come this first Friday and say goodbye to this exhibit. David is exhibiting his abstract work and Margie her geometric paintings. I will miss this work. Michigan City Toastmasters has a new name, the Singing Sands Toastmasters, meets every first and third Monday of the month at 6:15 p.m. Meetings in February are on the 4th and the 18th. February 3rd, we have social media tips and tricks for artists, and that's hosted by Jade McAloon of Pieces of Jade. We are really looking forward to this. It's from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and it's going to be an open discussion. Jade has a lot of social media experience and we look forward to that conversation. Saturday, February 9th at 2 p.m. and this is all Central Standard Time, we have Rose Uprising, a heart-centered fragrance event. And it's going to be Doreen Stelton. She has the Verdant Fairy Fragrances, and it's going to be an experiential all about roses event. Doreen will talk about the rose in perfumery, life, and covering a bit of history, perfumery techniques, aromatherapy, and the heart language of the rose. We'll experience the smells of a variety of all different rose oils from Bulgaria to Egypt. And Doreen will also have some of her botanical scents available, so... And we'll be having rose-flavored things, rose tea, rose honey. Bring your sweetheart, your best friend, or come solo. The event is perfect for men and women, and it is a free event. Sunday, February 17th, from 1 to 3 p.m., the Mindful Fiber Artist Gathering, and that's a monthly event. Saturday, February 23rd, at 7 p.m., is the monthly Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent as the Master of Ceremonies. I know. Larry's laughing. He is so much fun.
Yes.
So, and we really mean every kind of talent. It's kind of open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell, and we're looking for solo or group musicians, magicians, dancers, filmmakers, actors, comedians, poets, storytellers, TEDish talkers, visual artists, crafters, animal trainers, every kind of talent. So... please take a look at that event and sign up. And that's it for LaPorte.
Well, that rose
County
event, you might say everything's coming up roses.
It
you
is
know?
Coming up roses that day.
Well, yeah. We're moving on to Lake County and South Shore Arts. They have their what they call their Chamber of Commerce. I call it Chamber of Commerce for Artist Luncheon. It's a quarterly social activity where artists, art organizations, board members, and well patrons they gather together. They kind of promote their organization, their individual work. They share promotional materials and things like that. Well, anyway, they're coming up with theirs. It's going to be at Asparagus. Cost is $25. And, boy, I didn't put the date on there. It's coming up, I think, next week on the Wednesday. Wednesday. Boy, I didn't put the date on that. But anyway, you're welcome to show up there and promote it. You can get details at South Shore Art on Facebook. You can also Call South Shore Arts 219-836-1839. Ask for Donna Catalano, one of the guests on our show, and she can get you all set up for that. They will be doing their exhibit Haunts, which is a new exhibit that opens on February 8th through April 21st. And what it is, and there are receptions on March 3rd, John Kane is curating the exhibit, but it's the work of what we call guerrilla photographers. And what they do is they go to Gary and these places that are, well, ruined or architectural ruins or in the verge of being repurposed as architectural gardens. Anyway, it shows the interiors of these unique churches, like the Methodist Church in downtown, which has kind of been abandoned and everything. So that exhibit will open on February 8th. Atrium Gallery still has James Wachowiak on there. Art reception will be held on March 3rd also. And he's a Chicago-born artist with current paintings installation focused on the role of color, familiar forms, and communications. Under the banner of South Shore Arts, the Toll Theater, Lori Shimmer Carpenter Oils will be on display there. And she'll have an artist reception this month on February 22nd, 6:30 to 8 p.m. I think that's just prior to one of their shows. Studio 659, they have their annual juried show, Artistic License. And this is a salon-style show. They'll be running through March 4th. They have art in any medium that's there. I have two pieces in that show, by the way. You can go see them. They are on 119th Street in Whiting. Generally, they're open on Thursday, Friday, and Saturdays. Thursday and Friday from 12 to 7, Saturday from 10 to 2. If you want to find out information about that, go to studio659.org. Miller Beach Art and Creative District. Indy Windy, A Love Story. This exhibit just left Southern Shore Arts main Bachman Gallery, and it's now going to be displayed there. It'll be running on February 8th with an open reception that same day, and it'll be running through March 10th. So if you missed it at South Shore, you can now catch it at the Miller Beach Arts building. You can find out information on their website, millerbeacharts.org, or Miller Beach Arts Creative District on Facebook. We have a call for from Southlake Artist Cooperative, commonly known as SLAC, for Indifference and Ecstasy. And this one's coming up real fast. Two sides of the same coin. You may submit three pieces with a JPEG image. You do that to SLAC Artists, that's S-L-A-C Artists, at gmail.com with the title Indifference / Ecstasy. But you need to do that by February 3rd. So if you're listening now, you can get that. This display will be at the Wild Rose Brewery. And finally, my own exhibit, Nostalgic Structures and Scenics, will feature my work at the 8585 Broadway Professional Building, formerly known as the Chase Bank Building, and they'll be running through February 15th. So that's all we have for arts happening. By the way, if you are a listener of the show, it's time of year, always time of the year, for your support. We're a community station. We're supported by underwriters and individuals. And if you would like to hear, Esther and I would enjoy to be an underwriter of this particular program, but the station in general. We have underwriter levels at all levels, like from $300 a year, things, and you get mentioned multiple times throughout the program. If you're an individual, give what you can. You go to wvlp.org/support and, become a supporter of the station. If you like what we're doing, it's great. And I say this every week, and this gets a big smile out of Esther. Don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. Become a part of the WVLP family today, and you can be part of that. Well, we have a really nice guest here today,
yay,
right?
Yay, I'm looking forward to this.
So, by way of disclosure, I'm on the board of directors for this organization.
You're always disclosing that.
I know, I'm bored, yeah, too much. But anyway, we have Wendy Marciniak, the executive director of Chesterton Arts Center, and she is beginning her fifth year as the director there, and we'll talk about some of the things happening. I'm sure she has lots to go tell about her background and everything. So welcome to the show, Wendy.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Yes, it's a pleasure to have you. Thanks. Well, let's talk a little about Wendy's. Tell you a little bit about your background, personal background, like where you grew up and, you know, how you came to art and things like that.
Well, okay. All right. Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, my family moved to Chesterton from Gary. I was about 7, and so I'm a Chesterton High School graduate. And when it came time, like in August, to decide what I was going to do with my life, my parents really wanted me to go to IU, and I was like, I don't think so. I think I want to go to art school. So I chose the American Academy of Art in Chicago. one of the best things I ever did in my whole life. I just had a wonderful experience. And, you know, that was the back in the day era of Irving Shapiro and Clinton E. Frank. And so it was just a really great experience. And I studied under Irving Shapiro watercolor and also have a degree in graphic design, which, you know, is your bread and butter when you're an artist like that. So anyway, and then I worked in the graphic design field off and on for a couple agencies. I freelanced. And then I had children with my husband, Marty, and so took some time off to raise the kids and volunteered a lot at school doing art and, you know, posters and that kind of thing. And then I started working for the Chesterton Arts Center in an administrative sort of role when Judy Gregorich was still the director there. And then I took a couple years off to actually be an artist once the kids were kind of self-sufficient. And then I ended up coming back as director, and as you said, I'm starting my fifth year, and I don't know where it went. It
goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does.
Well, and back to your graphic design, is there anything we would have seen that you've done, some of the things
wow.
locally, nationally, regionally?
You know what? I worked for a couple agencies locally, so there was a lot of logo design, that kind of thing, and you know, back in that day, everything was print, so
right.
it was a lot of print media. So probably not, but I did do graphic design for the Chesterton Tribune for about 5 years, so ad design, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Which, you know, you learn to compartmentalize things into little boxes so that they fit in the newspaper, which, you know, is kind of fun, and then you hear all the news that's going on. It's kind of fun to be in a newsroom while you're working
on
graphics.
So do you still have time to do your own work?
Well,
right now?
actually, yes. In
Good.
Fact, I decided that I needed to take the big step of actually having studio space because I had kind of taken over a lovely bedroom in our home when our son moved out that had a lot of light, lots of windows. But then in my role as director, I found that I took a lot of work home with me, you know, and so my studio kind of ended up being
another office.
Yeah. Yes, and I would always be like, yeah, I'm going to move over there and do a little art, but I was always too fried. So I decided that I really need studio space so to keep me accountable to myself and also about art making. So a little bit over a year ago, I rented some small studio space in Porter Beach. And
oh,
I
wonderful.
Just love being out there. It's so inspiring. And, you know, while layers of paint are drying, I can go walk on the beach and then come back to it. And even in the wintertime, it's really, truly lovely out there. I mean, you know, and what strikes me about being out there in the winter is it's so quiet. Once the lake freezes, you know, you just don't hear anything. And so that's kind of fun, too. But, yes, I do mixed media now, kind of burned out on the watercolor thing, but I really enjoy playing with all my toys at once. So, you know, there's pastel.
Do you work small or large?
You know, I've started to work a little larger.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with mixed media, like, say, encaustic, it's kind of hard to work big. And I'm just kind of enjoying the medium kind of size right now. But I have attempted a couple larger pieces, and it's a little daunting. But I'm getting there.
I know, me too. I've had this need to go large now, too.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
kind of freeing.
Yeah, I agree. But it's a big step, you know. Everything is so white when you start out. So you just have to start flinging paint and you know, get comfortable. But
I know, it requires a lot more material
yes,
to cover a bigger
does.
Space.
It's where mixed media is fun because, you know, if you run out of one thing, well, try this.
Do you get to exhibit? I mean, I know you're busy as director, but, you know, are you getting back into exhibiting now that you're producing new pieces?
Well, the thing is, I really don't have enough work quite yet. I don't have a body of work. My parents have most of my better pieces, which they're entitled to since they put me through school. So I visit them in Florida. But actually, I'm working toward that, and I have found that as director, I have to be a little picky about that kind of thing. I'm not really comfortable entering competitions or shows in our place, so I'm kind of looking at other venues to kind of, you know, take me out of my box a little bit. And so, yes, that's one of the goals for 2019.
Well, you know, you have Esther.
Maybe we can talk.
Esther's the nest.
I know.
As you know, I'm hooked up with a lot of organizations.
I know.
I think we'll have a show for executive directors and curators.
That'd be a great idea.
I'll call John.
Yeah. I know Greg Hertzlieb. He does quite a bit of exhibiting, even in his role as a curator for the museum. So let's move on to the Chesterton Arts Center. Tell us a little bit first about the history and background of the organization.
Well, actually, this is kind of an interesting story. The Chesterton Art Fair actually came before the Chesterton Arts Center.
Okay.
By about a year and a half or 2 years. And the way that evolved was that there was a group of artists who always came out, to the Dunes area for the weekends to paint. And some of them, I think, were in the Prairie Club. And they decided that they would have an art fair for the locals. So they did that. And I believe that the first couple of them were in Thomas Centennial Park downtown, across from the businesses. And after the success of those two fairs, they decided that they really needed a place where they could gather and learn from each other and take classes and have a cultural space for them to gather. So that is how the Chesterton Arts Center actually came to be. And of course, it wasn't called the Chesterton Arts Center back then. It's had a number of different names, the Gilbert Gallery, and among others. And so the building was purchased, I believe, in the 70s, the building that we have now. It's a historic building. It's an old machine shop. It's downtown. It's right off 4th and Broadway. And we added on about 25 years ago, we added on classroom space on one side, on the south side of the building, with upper and lower classroom spaces, which has really helped us further our mission and expand our reach. However, the older part of the building is a lovely lady. She's needy, old buildings are like that. But the upstairs gallery space for our members is really interesting because the flooring and the brickwork up there is all original, and you can actually see where the machines were screwed into the floor, which is very cool. And there is also something that really just gives me shivers every time I look at it. On one of the back beams in the back of the gallery space upstairs, it is told that the workers that were up there the day that World War II ended, somebody took a piece of chalk and wrote "Victory for USA" across this beam. And so I will hurt anybody who decides to wipe that off. We guard it because it's historical. It reminds us of history and the fact that there were so many other people in and out of that building over the years who had stories to tell and that kind of thing. One of the stories that has arisen out of our building is the fact that the very first folding chair was actually created there. So, when you sit on a folding chair, the very first one.
Think of the Chesterton Art Center.
Yes, 115 South 4th Street, Chesterton. So we've had a lot of very dedicated board members and the founders, of course, who had a vision that we try very hard to maintain today, of course, with, moving forward. We've done some extensive remodeling downstairs since I've come on. We've actually created a new front gallery space that will now allow us to have two shows running at once, like we do this month. And we've totally redone the office, which allows us to kind of show off some of our permanent collection. We have a lot of Hazel Hennells, and we have a Vin Hennell. We have some Vickeries, Charles Vickeries, and Robert Hoffman. Just Dave Sander, Betty Sander. So a lot of really nice art, and it's a very welcoming space, and we love it when visitors come in to look and we chat about the history of the Art Center and the art that they see and So, yeah, we've done a lot.
You know, I just was thinking about that victory thing. I don't think I've ever seen that when I've been in the building. Might be worth getting a spray can of a clear acrylic and spray over that.
I know. I'm a little nervous about that. What? I just don't know. Yes, plexi might be
a good idea,
too.
Yeah, someone think, oh, yeah, let's wipe that off, and all of a sudden it's gone. And
well, we hired a cleaning agency a couple years ago because we were having a big shindig, and it was like I took them all up there and said, see that? Stay away. 5 feet. Nobody goes near it. And they laughed. They understood. But I just think it's really special. And it reminds me of the history of the building every time I walk by it and, you know, kind of do a thumbs up. And
You know, you're listening to Wendy Marciniak on Art on the Air, WVLP 103.1 FM. She's the executive director for the Chesterton Arts Center. She's beginning her fifth year there as such. So we hope you enjoy that. And by the way, you can hear rebroadcasts of this at Monday at 5 p.m. right on the station. And remember, you can also always hear us streaming at WVLP.org. And an archive of the show will appear at BREC, that's BRECH.com/AOTA. So Wendy, recently something happened in your executive directorship. You've been working full-time, but not getting paid full-time.
How about that? Yeah. You know, when you love what you do, it's not really work. Right? That's what they say. But comes a point where I think that the Art Center was ready to make that transition. And with the art fair and the gala that we do, it just really is a full-time job. And so I'm thrilled to be able to work in that capacity for the Art Center.
So. That's great. And being a board member, that was a step of faith we made. We like to see the expansion of the Art Center because it really represents the third largest art center in Northwest Indiana if you look at the three counties.
It does, and I'm happy and proud that we're one of the big three.
So tell us a little bit about you're getting into your 59th year. If someone walks in the big red door, because you can't miss it on 4th Street there as you come off there, what would they see as they walk into the Arts Center?
Well, I think that they would see a very contemporary sort of gallery space. When you walk in, you would see some retail space where we have our artisan marketplace where our members are allowed to show and sell some of their works. And then again, we have our members gallery upstairs for 2D and 3D pieces. Some of the pieces in our retail space are glassware, jewelry, fiber, cards. A lot of artists do cards out of some of their artwork. And so a lot of people will just duck in to buy a really unique card. So those are some of the things you'll see. Some of the things you might hear are children's voices kind of on the other side of the wall. We do a lot of classes Monday through Thursday for children starting 3 and up. And, of course, we do adult classes, too. We have some during the day and many at night. So, you know, the place is always hopping. But I'm really proud of the way that our gallery spaces turned out. And we love hosting shows for other art groups who maybe don't have a home, like groups like Area Artists, 18 Artists, the Plein Air Painters were in December and January, among others, too.
Ileana Artists,
Ileana,
I think.
Yeah. Yes, Ileana, it's your year for your big show in September. Which I'm grateful because it's right on the heels of the art fair. We swap every other year, and last year was interesting, so it was busy.
Now, tell us like what some of the children's classes, you know, we hit on that, but what kinds of classes do they have? What types of art do they do, and who teaches them? And
yes, well, we're thrilled to have Jennifer Martin with us. She pretty much runs our children's education department. And I have just returned from Hobby Lobby because in the month of February, they're going to be doing some plaster of Paris work. In January, they did paper mache. What Jennifer likes to do is she likes to choose a certain artist and educate the children about that artist and their style. And then they kind of get a hands-on experience of doing what that artist did. For instance, they're going to be doing some egg tempera. So in my car right now, I have 10 cartons of eggs.
Yes. Hopefully not frozen.
Well, right. I'm hoping not. I think I wrapped them pretty well, but they're not going to be eaten. So hopefully, you know, she'll be able to do it, work her magic with them, and the kids will learn how to do that.
The results are always so beautiful because I see those posts and I always go, oh, I want to do that class so
bad.
I know, they look so good. And then I love when you post the results. They're just enchanting.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, it's really fun to walk through there and see the kids at work, and they're having such a good time. And one of my most favorites is when they do Michelangelo. She has them lay on the floor and they tape their paper or canvas or whatever they're working on to the top of the table. So they're under the table and they're learning to paint like Michelangelo did, like ceilings.
How creative. I didn't realize she did that. Wow.
That's always fun. They love it. So, and then in the summertime, she runs children's art camps where they do a lot of things outside. There's beach week and a lot of sort of the messier kinds of things, tie-dye, that kind of thing too.
I know, I always want to leave one of the numbers off my age and apply.
Well, that could be a possibility. Maybe we need to transfer those kind of classes to adults too, where you can, you know, just bring out your inner child.
Call it a kid at heart or something in your class.
Yeah.
You also host birthday parties and event type things like that.
We do indeed, yes. In fact, we have a birthday party on Saturday, and it's unicorns and fun girly kind of things, but we've done superheroes and, oh gosh, too many things to mention. And I'm way out of that league now because I don't have little kids, but, you know, different themed parties that are always a lot of fun too. And then we have Cookies and Canvas once a month, which is sort of the kid version of Wine and Canvas, where, you know, the kids come in for an hour and a half and then leave with a themed painting on canvas that their parents can hang up and enjoy, and fun for all.
Wow, that's tremendous. Now, you also have adult classes. Tell us a little bit about those.
We do. We have a standing watercolor class on Friday mornings, and that is taught by Richard Church, who is a very well-known regional watercolor artist and a great teacher, and his wife Sandy helps out too, so they're fun to be around. And other ongoing classes are ceramics on Monday evenings with Tom Cernius. And then we have stained glass that kind of goes on year-round with Judy Gregorich and Mark Montgomery. And we have a mosaic glass class coming up in March. And just all kinds of things. We generally have photography now and then. We have jewelry. Elizabeth Kozlowski is a fiber artist from St. Joe, and she'll come down and we'll do wet felting. And so basically, we do a shout out and say, you know, to our members and beyond, you know, what would you like to learn? What would you like to do? In the past, I've taught some mixed media things. I did a basic encaustic class and some photo transfer stuff where you can transfer photos onto wood and glass and leather. So, you know, anything goes. We're open to anything.
So if someone wanted to teach a class, they could just get in touch with you? And
absolutely, yes. In fact, I'm at this time on our website, there is a document that you can read and download, and it outlines how that works at the Chesterton Art Center if you'd like to teach. And we are open to anything and would love to hear from artist teachers who would like to share their knowledge of their particular art.
Why don't you give us the web address?
Well, the web address is www.chestertonart, and that's all one word, lowercase, .com.
And that's how you can find it. And you also have a Facebook page that you can get there, too.
We do.
And that's probably where they can find, actually, quickly, like, updated things that are going on, events and everything.
Yes, absolutely. Photos, events, weather closings, which we've had this week. We also have an Instagram page, which we are trying to get better at. So, yes, there are posts there as well.
I know Instagram, I haven't had as much luck getting. I put stuff out there, but you can see the response is not quite the same as on Facebook yet.
I love the fact that, you know, it's visual media, and art place should be doing it, and it is fun to do. You know, sometimes we catch things in the art center that turn out really beautiful as photographs, and we want to share that, and hopefully people will be intrigued and want to come see.
Well, on the administrative end, you also have someone who's an artist that also helps you in the office.
That's right. That is my right arm, left toe, left brain. Yes, that is the fabulous Chris Acton. And she is a weaver, a very accomplished weaver who's traveled all over the country with her weaving. And I actually chose her to be my replacement when I left as the admin 7-8 years ago. I said to Judy Gregorich, I said, you know, I have this friend, Chris Acton, and I really think she would be great here. And so that came to pass, and she is wonderful. And like I said, just a fabulous fiber artist. And we just really have a great rapport. I mean, her and I work so well together. And so it's really a joy to have her help. And she's just fun to be around, too.
Does she have time to do art fairs anymore, or does she do the Chesterton Art Fair?
You know, she did that for many, many years, and did the Chesterton Art Fair, of course. And before I was really involved with the fair, I would always help her in her booth, because, as you know, sometimes artists have an issue selling their own work, you know. Mm-hmm. And she does demo. She had a table loom, and she would always be demoing, and so people would come up and watch, and so I would kind of be her salesperson in her booth. And she does a lot of things with repurposed strips of clothing and ties. She has these wonderful clutches that she makes out of repurposed neckties. Mm-hmm. So if people had items of clothing that were meaningful to them from a relative or whatever, she can strip that down and weave it into something beautiful. So, however, now she's kind of taken her business in a new direction, and she's not doing fairs as much. Mm-hmm. She's has more of an online presence.
Yeah.
Yes, so she's enjoying that.
ActonCreative.com, isn't that what it is?
Acton Creative, yes.
Price.
That's right.
And she's the face that you most of the times, because you're out there in the community, which we'll talk about in a minute, that you, if you come in Monday, generally Monday through Friday, she'll be there?
Monday through Thursday. For sure, from 11 to 4. Our other wonderful helper at the Art Center is Marie Engelhart, who's a retired elementary art teacher and fiber artist from Ogden Dunes. So her and Chris swap Fridays now and then. And but yes, Chris is pretty much there most of the time because I am out and about.
Yes, and tell us a little about that. You recently had an appointment because you're getting involved in the Chesterton community quite a bit.
I am.
And mainly, I think, to raise the visibility of the Art Center. So tell us a little bit about some of those things that have been happening.
Well, actually, the town of Chesterton has decided to rebrand itself. And that hasn't happened in quite a while. And so I am part of that committee of business people from Chesterton. And I head up the Art and Beautification Committee out of that group. So one of the first things we did was we decided that the trash receptacles in Thomas Park needed to be artsy. So with a lot of help from the town of Chesterton and the street department in particular, we hired a company out of Valparaiso to do these wraps on our garbage cans. And Holly Jackson, who's a fabulous artist with a studio in downtown Chesterton, was the first artist that we had do the wraps on the cans. And we have some of her abstract work, some of her dunes. And so we were really pleased. Yes,
yeah.
Her florals. So it was really hard to choose 4 images that would be placed on 20 of the receptacles. But if you drive through downtown Chesterton, you can't miss them. They're basically on every block up and down Broadway and Calumet. So that was one of our first projects.
Holly has a lovely gallery, too, that has been there for, what, over 15 years, maybe?
Yes.
So
I think
it's a good choice.
13 or 14, yes. Mm-hmm. And actually, that was one of the reasons that we chose her, because she has invested in downtown Chesterton, and we really loved her work, and she was thrilled to be able to have her work, displayed through town. So that was one of the major accomplishments in our very first year. So
yeah, we had a show, a very colorful show for Holly a few years back. It was very, very wonderful.
Yes, I'm sure. And she's a delightful lady too.
The best.
So, yeah.
Yep. My quick story about Holly, before she had that space, one of the photographs that I shot, that I call Lost Memories, that was a resale shop. And it was like a bust with a wedding veil and a wedding dress and other little tchotchkes. And it was during the Wizard of Oz festival. And so I went behind the booths, and I just took one shot of the window, and women buy that. And I think I know why. It's very nostalgic looking, because here you see this bust, and you think about all these things that were somebody's precious treasures are now being resold. So now it's now Holly's Place on 2nd Street there. So
I totally forgot about that. Yes, and I've seen that photo. It's lovely. And it reminds me of my grandma, and, you know, some of the really cool things that are in the photo are, yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Well, then moving on, you also recently got an appointment by the town.
I did, yes, yes. I am now a member of the Park Board, which I've been a lover of the parks forever, and I live near Dogwood Park, which is where we host the art fair every year. So I use that park very often for walking and riding my bike. And so I've been going to their meetings for probably the past year, and I think it's really a great thing to kind of be a liaison with the Art and Beautification Committee, because we have big plans for the parks in Chesterton, particularly the park downtown. And there's also a lovely sort of hidden park behind the businesses off Morgan Avenue, and it's Coffee Creek Park. Not Coffee Creek Park that's off 49, but right. Actual Coffee Creek Park. And there's a lovely boardwalk back there. And so we have some plans to kind of open that up too, so that people can enjoy that one as well. However, I love all the parks, and I'm really looking forward to serving on that board.
And then you're also involved in service organizations of...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've been a member of Delta Theta Tau sorority, the Chesterton chapter, for 30 years. I was a national officer at one point. I was the editor of their national magazine. I'm also a Rotarian, so every Tuesday I get to gather with the business people in town, and we share lunch, and we have speakers, and generally we have many service projects. I do believe the fish fry is coming up in April, so I'll be breading fish again. And it's a huge event in town, and everybody comes, and the food is awesome. And so it's been a lot of fun, and I think that it really does raise our presence in town. And there are so many groups that we've been able to partner with, and I'm really hoping to expand that, because at the Chesterton Art Center, we just feel that art is for everyone. And it has taken us a while to really realize that, because when the Art Center, back in the day, it was really more for artists. You know, like I mentioned in the beginning, it was a gathering place for artists. But we've kind of changed our feeling about that, and we believe that art is for everyone. And so the more that we can partner with other not-for-profits and service groups and in our community, the better we are, all of us.
So as executive director, you're actually not behind a desk very often. You're out in the community, it sounds like.
Yes, I am, and really enjoying that. Since I grew up in Chesterton, I know a lot of the people anyway, and I know the service groups, and I know where their hearts are, and I feel like the Chesterton Art Center is right in line with that. And especially these days when, you know, people are retiring earlier, and so they have more free time, and they can come and learn something that maybe they didn't have time to do when they were working or raising a family. And we also believe that learning art can keep kids out of trouble and keep them away from those screens that they're kind of glued to all the time. And it's really healthy for them to come in and you know, think creatively and push paint around and take something home that they can be proud of. And so, yeah, our mission has changed a little bit.
And so looking toward the future and everything, you see that it's kind of, it's taking its place among like the big two, Lebesnik on the one hand and South Shore on the other hand, right there in Porter County.
Well, we can aspire to that. Those places are awesome. I love going to them, and I'm always really just amazed by what they can do. And I think that the Chesterton Art Center kind of has its its goals, and I think that we're starting to fulfill a lot of them, and I think that we're making strides in Porter County. So
looking for corporate support and
absolutely,
you know, things like that.
Absolutely.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the upcoming exhibits. By the way, you're listening to Wendy Marciniak, Executive Director at Chesterton Arts Center. So you have a whole series of almost monthly exhibits going on. So let's talk a little bit about that, the process, how people can get involved with it. And
well, volunteers are always welcome, especially when it comes to hanging shows, that kind of thing. During our remodel, we actually now have a hanging system, so we're not pounding holes into walls like we used to. And we always need help with that. During opening receptions, it's always great to have extra people there to assist with sales. And it's fun to be around the artists, too, and actually, in February, this Sunday, February 3rd, we have two exhibits that will open. And in our front gallery, we have Frontline Foundations, and their show is called Unbroken and Alive. And it's works by their clients in recovery from addiction. And they were with us about 4 years ago. And I didn't know what to expect. And when they brought their work in and hung it, and each piece had sort of a written, something you could read about the piece and about the feelings that the artist had during the creation of that piece. And I found them to be very moving. And so we're really excited to have them back again in February. And they also have music, the Art of Music, there. And so during the opening reception, their musical group, the Salt Exchange, will be playing music in the front gallery as well, which is really cool. In Chesterton, they have a fabulous space. It's called The Conduit. It's sort of in back of their building, and I was fortunate enough to tour it, and they have a wonderful creative space there and all kinds of musical instruments and a little stage, and so it just made my heart sing to see, you know, that their clients have an opportunity to express themselves.
For our listeners who may not know, tell us a little bit about what Frontline Foundation does.
Well, they are an addiction recovery organization. And I know that I think they just opened a big place in La Porte, and then they have the one in Chesterton. And again, art is a big part of the recovery process for their clients. So, you know, they're always creating, and we're very happy to be able to host their exhibit.
And they also do something in the Thomas Centennial Park.
Yes. They have their big event in September usually. And I can't think of it off the tip of my tongue, but I've judged it in the past, and it's the Chalk Art Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So that's a very big event for them, and it really shows the public what they do and how important their work is in Chesterton and beyond.
Now, you have a second exhibit going on in February.
Yes, in the back gallery, we have Quilting Gone Wrong, which was a class that was taught by Leslie Cefali, who's a Valparaiso resident. And Leslie loves fiber, and she also does origami, too, which is really cool. But this is all about art quilts, and it is not your grandma's quilt. You will not snuggle up with it in this cold weather. These are smaller art pieces where the students were encouraged to do everything wrong, break every rule. A lot of hand stitching, a lot of whimsical subject matter, embellishments with beads and glitter and fun stitching and colors that just really pop. And so there were, I think, about 12 or 15 students who have work from that class that they'll be showing. And Leslie will be offering another class, I believe, in April. So you'll have the opportunity to sign up for that if you'd like to.
Very good.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about the Chesterton Art Fair? I think when we were talking before we went on, you mentioned that the application is now live for it.
Yes, it is live and up and running. Yes, and you can get to that through our website if you click on the tab that says Chesterton Art Fair. The application process is only online, and it's through Entry Thingy, and that is actually what it's called, Entry Thingy. And once you register with them, you can get online and find out the particulars of jurying for the fair. It is a juried fair. And this
year, many artists do you host?
Typically around 100, and it's all media, and we're careful to balance all the media so it's not like, you know, 50% jewelry and 30% photography. We really try to have a nice blend of everything. And it's the 61st year for the art fair. And 3 years ago, we moved it from Hawthorne Park in Porter to Dogwood Park in Chesterton, which really allowed us to expand and grow. Nice flat ground, close parking, a huge shelter.
Yes, I've watched many tumbles down that hill with people carrying artwork.
I know. It was rough. And we loved being there. We were there for 25
years. Oh, it was beautiful.
Years, but we just kind of outgrew it, I think.
Yeah.
So how far away do artists in the past have they come from to do the Chesterton Art Fair?
Gosh, I think the furthest was California. We have a lot of artists from down south who like to come up north during the summer to exhibit. So we usually have maybe about 8 from Florida, a couple from Alabama, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, out west a little bit further. I think we had somebody from the Dakotas last year, Kansas. And as well as Indiana, Michigan, Wisconsin.
I know there's a healthy representation of local artists.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, while we're talking about that, when is the art fair?
The art fair is August 3rd and 4th this year. It's always the first full weekend in August. And it's from 10 to 5 on Saturday and 10 to 4 on Sunday. And artists are welcome to come and set up on Friday from noon to 8. We have security there overnight for both nights. We offer continental breakfast for the artists in the morning and each morning, Saturday and Sunday. And it's free parking, nominal admission fee, $5 for adults, and children under 12 are free.
And then there's activities for the kids,
too.
Yes, we do. It's a nice booth.
Yes, we have a children's booth. We have music.
The music's wonderful. It's almost distracting because you want to stay and listen. You actually want to stay and listen and watch the music.
Thank you, yes. And we're careful to have the right kind of music. You know, we want strolling music. We want it to be sort of an ambiance, you know, that enhances the art fair, but still allows people to be able to talk to the artists and you know, enjoy the art in all the booths, too. So we try to encompass all the arts and make it a wonderful day.
And can they go to, like, if someone's interested in being in the art fair, you talked about the thingy.
Entry thingy.
Yes. But is there a link on your webpage or something to get to it? So
absolutely, okay. Yes. When you go to the art fair page, it's right below there.
Okay.
And you just fill your name and your email and create a password and you're in.
It's very user-friendly, the entry thingy.
Thank you. Glad to hear that.
So what other exhibits do we have coming up this year?
Well, in March, we are always thrilled to have the Duneland Schools art shows. Mm. And the first 2 weeks this year will be the high school shows, so grades 9 through 12. And then the second 2 weeks in March will be K through 8. And they have opening receptions typically in the middle of the week. I think they're usually on the Wednesday of the first week that they're there from 6 to 8. And I'm telling you, it is crazy. It is so much fun to see, especially the little ones, you know, bringing their grandparents and their neighbors. And it's always really fun to watch the pride that the kids have with their work. And what's amazing to me is I walk around, you know, when they're not there that night because it's just nuts. I look at the artwork and I'm amazed, A, that the kids did it. But what that tells me is that Duneland has quality art teachers, and it takes a really great teacher to bring all that out, all that creativity out in the students. And so I really feel fortunate that, you know, Duneland values the arts, and you can tell by what the kids are creating. So it's always fun for us.
It's kind of the whole town, too, because the Duneland Chamber of Commerce seems so involved with the community and really promotes their businesses and seems very conscientious.
Yes, we're chamber members, and they try very hard to really help businesses thrive. And that includes us. I mean, you know, and they have fun festivals and things downtown in the park, and everybody benefits from that.
Yeah, they're very active.
Yes.
Well, then in April, what do you have coming up?
Well, in April, April is the Weavers Guild show. And if you've never been to that, it's really, really fun. They have a fashion show at their opening. Not only wovens, but knitted, crocheted, that kind of thing. And a lot of it turned into wearables. So, you know, there's people modeling clothing that you can purchase. And then that's throughout the month. But then also the last 2 weeks of the month, we have our children's education show in the back gallery. And that is a culmination of everything that the kids have worked on throughout the school year. And that's presented by Jennifer Martin, our children's education teacher. And it's always fabulous. Again, a wonderful teacher getting great things out of the kids.
Then in June.
Well, let's talk about May.
Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped May.
That's all right. Well, in May, we are going to host a competition that's called May You Always Have Flowers. And this is open to anyone. It's non-juried. And as long as your piece has a flower in it somewhere, we want to see it. It can be photography. It can be painting. It can be 3D. It can be jewelry. Anything that has a flower in it, by May, we are going to be ready for May flowers. So
when do you accept applications for these?
Well, for the May show, hopefully, you know, we'll have the application ready certainly by April, hopefully maybe in March, so that people can start planning. We'll be able to take two pieces from each artist, but size limitations and that kind of thing will come out in the prospectus soon. And then in June, we have the Women's Club Art Show. That
yes.
is, gosh, I think the 67th year that we've partnered with them, and that is also a non-juried show, but I have to tell you, it is a high caliber show. You have some really great artists and some emerging artists that enter that. They have tons of prizes they give away, and usually it's about 120 pieces, so it's a big show.
But, I think I, along with Chris, hung that last show.
I think you did. I think you did a record job because was like putting together a Rubik's Cube.
It was.
Puzzle.
It really was.
Yeah, yeah. And then in July, we will host the works of local artists Deb Szymanski and Sharon Goodall, who are both oil painters. And then in August, we'll have the art of Melissa Washburn.
The former host here.
Yes.
How about
yes,
that?
Yes, yes. Melissa does wonderful work, botanicals
she
and
does.
Bugs and just really fun, beautiful things. Well, and she created our logo for the art fair, too.
Wow. So. Before we get away, we also have a big event in November.
We do, our Art After Dark Gala. And that will fall on November 1st this year. And as always, held at Sand Creek Country Club in Chesterton. And we have some new surprises that will be happening at the gala this year, so you won't want to miss it.
Fantastic. Well, anything else you want to say to wrap up here, Wendy?
Well, I just want to thank you both for hosting me today, and I'm always really happy to be here. I love WVLP and what they do for the arts, and so, again, thank you so much.
Well, we'd like to thank you, Wendy, for being here. Remember, you can, if you've been listening to Art on the Air here, you can also send us information at artontheair@gmail.com.
That lonely Gmail.
Yeah, we need to see more things. And if you want to hear archive shows, it's at brech.com. That's brech.com/AOTA. By the way, I forgot one other item that I just happen to know on Sunday. Go to Dig the Dunes. They're going to have a sunrise photography thing somewhere where I live, right across Lake Palomar. So that's supposed to be about 6 in the morning. Check with Dig the Dunes for details. If it looks like it's going to rain or something, I think it will be a rain out. So check with Dig the Dunes, and hopefully we'll see a sunrise and everything. Anyway, Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m. It's rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. with your hosts Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks again to Greg Kovacs, WVLP station manager.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, thank you, Greg, keeping us on the air. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest, again, again, artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Next week, we have Dale Popovich, watercolor artist, and his bride, who we had on the show earlier, Marilee Jacoby Popovich, and everything. See you next week right here at 103.1 FM, Art on the Air.
Aloha.